can't say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can't say I'm one of them. Aren't you glad about it? Well, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? Oh, are you glad you can say you're one of them? I'm one of them. Well, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. One of them. For one of them. I'm so glad I can say.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you can say you're one of them? Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand? Tell them you're glad you're one of them. Tonight. Did you enjoy service here over the weekend? Was the word of the Lord outstanding? Was the word of the Lord truly outstanding? Praise the Lord. Well, if it gets any better, Brother Terry, I don't know how we're going to do. I don't know how we can contain ourselves. It's so wonderful, and I know God's got something good for us here tonight, too. Sister King wants to thank everyone who prayed for her. She's getting better. I sure thank God. I sure love all of you. Also, she has an unspoken prayer request she'd like for this assembly to pray about with us, commit unto the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Ruth Jack's daughter, Elizabeth, for many needs in her life. We'll just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Sister Estep wants to thank everyone for their prayers and for the Lord touching her. She went back to the doctor on her bladder situation, and he said he didn't think she was going to need surgery, that everything looked better, and just keep on taking the medication that he prescribed, and she's going to be all right according to what he says. So praise the Lord for that. Brother Gary Harris is to please remember Brother Brandon Green and his family. His grandmother passed away this week. They're going to West Virginia for the funeral services. So let's pray for that family, that situation, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. I want to pray for Sister Retha and Brother Brian Arnold, both sick. Also pray for Sister Retha's mother, who is in the hospital with pneumonia. So we just commit those folks unto the Lord tonight. We believe God's able to meet every need, don't we? Sister Connie Cook says this in. My sister Marilyn requested prayer. She's having gallbladder surgery in the morning. Also for a special unspoken request for our son, William. We'll just commit that unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Mike Pierce, who's in the hospital with chest pain. Also pray for my brother. He is in the hospital in the intensive care unit. Sister Irene Pierce sends that in. So we'll commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Sister Rebecca says, I want to thank the Lord for the way he's been working things out for me in the past few months. He is truly a very present help in the time of trouble. His timing is perfect. So she wants to praise the Lord for that tonight. Sister Regina Harris from Covington, Georgia, in a coma at Emory Hospital. Brother John Roberts sends that in. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of those folks. Brother Gene Terrell says to please pray for my sister Sharon Davis in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. She's in critical condition with meningitis. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. The Lord would be mindful of her. Brother Keith Phillips sends this in. The research company that I work for has been sold to another group. Pray with me as I endeavor to find out what the Lord wants me to do in this transition. I want to be in the center of his will. Thank you very much. So we'll just commit that unto the Lord. Certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Jack Roberts. A lot of folks here in our assembly with flu and viruses and things that's going around. We want to remember those as well. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother Burt, why don't you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite his presence into this service. We'll commit all these needs into the hands of our Lord. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, just all the testimonies gathered in this room, just thinking about how many thousands of these requests, Lord, we put before you and gathered according to your word, Lord, bearing one another's burdens. And every one of them, Father, we know has been resolved according to your perfect will, and every one of them will be, Lord. And we just want to thank you that we have a perfect atonement, and that, Lord, every one of these needs and everyone that wasn't spoken but hands raised, Lord, oh, Father, I'm in awe of the word and how you've brought us through everything you have so far to manifest yourself, Lord. And, Father, we know you're going to complete the work, and we just appreciate the privilege to bear one another's burdens and know these will be concluded, Father. There's no question about it, and we're bringing them to you with perfect confidence in a perfect atonement. And we're thanking you right now, Lord, and thank you for letting us gather tonight, letting us hear the word. Thank you for the word of God in this hour, Father. It's wonderful. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting with us tonight in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. Those that are streaming the services tonight, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters from around the world. Now, let me make this announcement. There are copies of the quotes from Sunday's sermon in the library. And I know every one of you would like to have a copy of that. They have those available for you over in the library. Also, anyone that's planning on going to the youth camp in Louisiana, please sign the bus sheet that is available for you over in the library. Now, you need to do that as quickly as you possibly can so they can get a count of who all is going to be going. So please take care of that. If you're planning on going to the Louisiana youth camp, please go to the library and sign that. Something keeps holding me. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Aren't you glad something's got a hold of you? Praise the Lord. I'm glad it's not the world. I'm glad the world don't have a hold of me. But I'm glad it's the arms of my Lord and Savior. The word of the hour keeps hold of me. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Give me one more big hand clap of praise tonight. You love him with all your heart. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully. Oh,
desire to steal away my pain.
Song tonight. There's no one greater than Jesus. Can you say praise the Lord? Somebody say I thank you, Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him.
I was so bound up, my life was so tied up. No peace within. Chains could not hold me. Confused, so lonely. So shackled with sin.
Story of our life.
Who is that coming? From the other side of the sea, his eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. Oh, Legion, you had me bound so long, but my mourning has broken. I'll sing. Sun was burning down.
Yes, sir.
In my face from embarrassment, from my lifestyle so bad. There was greater than my Jesus. Oh, sweet,
sweet
Jesus.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you. You're just singing so good tonight. Such an atmosphere in here already, and I know it's going to get better and better and better the further we go. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Brother Jackie Benton's here. He's going to come give us a special. We appreciate our brother. I always love to hear Brother Jackie sing. He's a blessing. Everywhere he goes, he's a blessing. Give him a nice hand as he comes to sing for you tonight. Certainly appreciate our brother. If you ain't got anything else, sing your trademark.
Okay. All right. Your signature. So. Amen. Yep, I guess. Right. And I'm glad for the blood of Jesus Christ. I never get tired of talking about the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And we can claim the blood tonight. Amen. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. I have a source of strength when I am weak. That takes me through when life is pressing. I have a source of power from above. Hallelujah. I'm covered over by a shield of blood.
Sing it down.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sins, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. For there's a healing, cleansing stream that flows with the peace that only His redeemed can know. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. When I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains.
Hallelujah.
for the blood. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, so God's going to make man, them, not just one. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. Why would you say replenish if there hasn't been anything on the earth before? Since this is the exact same word, he tells Noah, replenish.
Amen.
Replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we ask your blessings upon the word tonight, Father. We're so grateful that we can be together again here tonight, Lord, in the presence of God. We thank you for a great Sabbath that we have been able to enter into a place of rest, not a day, not a certain location, but a position in Christ Jesus. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for strength in the time of trouble and distress. Truly, we're living in a troubled time. But Lord Jesus, we know that you are our comfort, our peace, our healer, our Savior, our Redeemer, everything that we have need of, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to us tonight. Minister to us from your word, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. From these places in the scripture, I'd like to speak to you tonight on the crown of creation. The sixth day, as we've already looked at last week, had a twofold purpose, as did the fifth. And God is now bringing this height of everything that he's made. He's going to bring it into clear view. Now, for many, this has been a very stumbling passage of scripture. Theologians have looked at it for years and years. Bible students, Bible scholars, Bible people who've read it and tried to figure it out and tried to understand it. Because as we closed out with it last Wednesday night, that the word Elohim is actually the plural word that is used for deity. So the natural carnal mind and what they try to do, instead of making it in the form of mystery the way that God intended for it to be, what they want to do is divide this one God up and make three people out of him. Now, in that, they think they clarify the word Elohim in the plural form. But you see, God's way of doing things is so much different than our way. But really, the mystery of his being is unfolded here if we'll just listen to what he said in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our, plural, image, singular. So if there was an old man, an old Father God, and a young Lord Jesus, and another Holy Spirit, I'm not sure what you think it'd look like, but there's three different ones. So it'd be like me and Brother Tim and Brother Terry. Come here, brothers. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Come here. I'll be the Father and you can be the Son, even though you're older than me, and you can be the Holy Ghost. Okay. Now we're going to make a man in our images. Huh? Now, as you can tell, all three of us look way different. These poor guys ain't near as handsome as I am. Now, if there was three individuals, then they'd say our images, our likenesses. But if you've only got one image and you're saying plural, then there must be more than three people standing there.
Yeah.
There's got to be more of an understanding. So, well, will we use his ears and say his nose? Definitely a nicer nose than mine.
Uh-oh.
What about his mouth? Look at that smile. Ain't that cute? Well, what about his fingers, size of hands? Then you're taking and pulling from three different beings, unless you've only got one image. Thank you, brothers. And you've only got one likeness. But you've got a being that is revealing himself, not in a visible form, but in an invisible form. So part of himself is invisible, part of himself is visible, and by being this, he can say our and still say image. And he can say our likeness, our plural, and still say likeness one. Now think, when God wanted to absolute bring total completion to this great work that he now worked on the earth. For 6,000 years, almost 6,000 years now, he's been unfolding this creation, each day being a 1,000-year increment. So he's brought forth and made the sun to shine, the stars, placed everything, brought all the herbs, all the insects, all the vegetable plants, all botany life, everything now is brought into the earth. It's like a beautiful castle. It's like a beautiful paradise, a beautiful garden, but it's empty. It's like there's something missing, which would be the top of all of it. And yet you can tell by the way he's climbing, as the prophet says, it's like he's learning more all along. And he chose to reveal it this way. But you look around and you can see it's coming up higher and higher and higher. But you know, by looking at it, there's something that's not exactly right. Sort of like heaven today. You look around, you see streets of gold, gates of pearl, angels. You see a throne of God. You see all them things there, and you know what? There's something missing. Me. There's something it's being created for. It's like it's leading up to something. You know, friend, we should have known from the message of Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, it was building and leading up to something. We are it. The truth kept progressing and revealing more. It was saying more. It was coming higher, coming higher, coming higher. Oh my, it has arrived. And you realize now that as God is unfolding this great work of creation, it's like he keeps unveiling more and he shows more. And it's like he's pointing to something here, and these lower creations are pointing toward it, but he doesn't actually reveal it until right here. Now, it doesn't tell him when he's making the arthropods and when he's making all the insects and all the little things down there. He doesn't really say anything about it. His plan does not unveil it. But now here he says it. Let us make man. Now watch this. Brother Branham says, show us the Father. When he made everything that looked nice and good to him, and he said, let us plural make man plural in our own image. What was he? There is a supernatural being. There's the one God. Now notice, the one that could not be seen, God the Father, never was seen, never will be seen. He's all nature. There he is. And now here's the Son, which is the Logos that went out of him, made in his image. A supernatural being that went out in the beginning. So here we have Father, which has not been seen, never will be, cannot be seen. But out of invisible came visible. So here now the Father projects a visible image. So now there's something by which something else can be made off of. Don't get in your mind now when you think about image that you're talking about a picture. That God took a picture of the Logos, and then that same picture is going to be in Adam. That's not what he's got in his mind. It is an image or a resemblance. It is something that's going to be identified. It is something that was projected into this man, but it was also something that could be lost. Because he did lose that image later on in the fall. Now, whatever it was that was lost from him, it could be projected in. Therefore, it could be lost. And if it could be lost, it could be regained again. Now, with that, once it is regained, then divine fellowship and communion can be restored the way it was to the original man who had it in the first time. Now, can man worship without the image of God? He can, but he cannot worship in a perfect way. Can he be able to fellowship? He can, but he can only do it when the image of God is really in him. So now he must be made in this image. Watch again, question and answers. What connection does this Genesis 1:26 have with Genesis 2:7? Now remember, Genesis 1:26 is a spirit man. Genesis 2 is the man that was placed in the body of flesh. God created two men. Which was the man? Which connection does that have? What does it connect with Scripture? Well, now if you'll notice, in Genesis 1:26, let's get the first part. God said, let us make man in our image. Of course, we realize he's talking to someone. Boy, the Jesus-only people have the office time and the message ever wore with these quotes. They go all to pieces. Aren't you glad you can just take it all? Aren't you glad you're in a Trinity or a Jesus-only? You're just a word Christian. Now what? So he's speaking to someone. He was talking to another being. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the cattle of the field. If you'll notice in creation, the first thing he created, of course, was light. And you come on down through the creation. The last thing that was created was a man. And woman was made after the man. The last thing that was created of God's creation is mankind. So now here God, the invisible Father, is speaking to the visible image. Let us make man in our image. Singular. He ain't going to take the nose of Brother Tim and the hand of Brother Terry and the eyes of Brother Donnie, but he has one image and one image only. God does not have several thousand images of a bride, neither. He has one image, and that bride is a word bride. Now, what's this? So now, the person asked Brother Brown this question because they're trying to understand, how does the man in Genesis 1 relate to the man in Genesis 2? Now, notice this if we jump on down to the next paragraph, paragraph 21. Now, God created man in his own image, in his own likeness. What kind of man did he create? A spirit man. Now, if you'll notice, after he had made all the creation and created a spirit man, the close reading of this now to the one that asked the question, that God gave dominion of the cattle, the fishes, and everything to this man. But in his making up here, he made man in his own image to lead the cattle, to lead the beasts of the field, like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. So man is given a dominion while he's yet in the spirit image before he ever embraces a flesh body. Now watch this. He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creations of God. The first creation was God himself. When out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God, then out of the Logos, listen to this, out of the Logos, which was the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, out of the Logos came forth the man. Out of the invisible God comes the Logos. Then out of the Logos in the lower creation of God comes the man. What man? Not the man of Genesis 2:7. The man of Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That man came directly from the Logos. Praise the Lord. This body is not in the image of God. I'll prove that to you. Now watch. So he asked the question. Now let us. Who? Father and Son, make man in our image. Now, if man was made something like that little sacred light yonder, or something like that, it could not be seen, which is a spiritual being. He manifested or unfolded himself a little more to make a trinity of himself by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There was God unfolding himself now down into, watch what he's going to do. He's still stepping down farther, farther. Let us make man in our image. Don't you see what he's doing? He's unfolded himself further now than the step of the Logos. He will step down to a lower form of creation, for the man actually came out of the Logos himself. Oh, brother, sister, they ought to make a Presbyterian shout. Now, you realize I ain't talking just about Adam, one man, but every one of those children whose name is in that book of life. That was you, Brother Dow. That was you, Brother Terry. That was you, saints of God. You're part of that Logos. Notice this. Make man in his own image and let them have dominion over the cattle of the field. Now that man led the cattle and everything, like the Holy Spirit leads a true believer today. The voice of God out there, the voice of man rather, would speak and call the cattle this way. Call the sheep over to his pasture. Call the fishes to the water. He had dominion. Can you imagine this man standing there? He would speak to the cattle. He'd speak to the sheep. He'd speak to the fish in the water. He'd speak. This was his dominion. Now watch, let's read this again in verse 26. And God said, let us make man. Now the Hebrew word here is Adam, which is man or mankind. So God is not making just one, but he's making mankind in our image. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So the last great work of God is now brought into a visible
image. Even though you couldn't see it with the natural eye, it is a supernatural being. So the earth is now like a great stately palace or a beautiful garden, a beautiful paradise, which needs the ruler of that paradise to come into view. So God has created higher and higher and higher and higher, and he keeps coming up till he comes right to the very crowning point or the ending or the finishing, so he can enter into his Shabbat. And what does God do? He unfolds himself into this creation. Oh my. The physical matter for Adam's body already laid in the elements of the earth. But it's not quite time yet for that body to become physical matter. So God lets him be in this. How long was it? We really don't know. But he lived in this type of a body. It was a body that God could relate to. A body that no doubt Adam in this image could relate back to the Logos. And there was an element of fellowship. There was an element of talk. There was an element of association with God. He lived in that realm with God in that place in the garden in a spiritual condition. And God looked at him and said, it's not good for this man to be this way. Years later, God then brought out of his human body this woman to be able to be a helpmeet to him. Now, the creation of man, notice, does not take place through God speaking to the earth. God did not call to the earth the way that he did when he said, let the earth bring forth potatoes. Let the earth bring forth carrots. Let the earth bring forth. And he said, let the skies bring forth. Let the waters bring forth. But the creation of man could only come into view as God would speak to himself. Notice, he's not speaking to the earth. He's not speaking to a seminary. But God said to himself, let us bring forth man. Why? Because man is his original spirit being is not going to come from there. The earth does not have the chemistry. It does not have the material. It does not have the atoms to make a soul. The earth did not have the things on it to make a spirit that could only come from the breath of God. Now what? So God is going to bring this himself. So he doesn't call on the earth. He doesn't call on the sky. He doesn't call on the air. But God actually calls upon himself in the lower form of his creation, which was the Logos. So God, the invisible, the spirit, speaks to this condensed part, which was the Logos, which went out of that turning pillar of fire. And he said, let us make man. Then what shall we make him out of, Father? Let's make him out of our own image. Let's make him after our own likeness. Amen. And let not him, but let them have dominion. We're heading back to it, friends. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So God now, as we said last Wednesday, this is the first time that God has made personal reference to himself. This is also one of the first time of many times in the Bible that God refers to the plurality of his deity in the form of personal pronouns, us and our and so on. So God here is now revealing a part of himself in dealing with man that he did not reveal when he made the solar system. You don't find God saying, let us make stars. Let us make potatoes. Let us make maters. Let us make red pepper, green pepper, bell pepper, jalapeno pepper. Let us make all this. No, but now in relation to man, now it brings out the very being of God in man. Don't you see why you're so special in these eyes? Now, in the ancient world, when a person would carry an image of an idol, it was believed that this image, of course, it did not have the power that the real God that it was supposed to represent had. But in packing this image of this idol, you had the essence or the representation of that God. So say your God was Moloch and he had great big side, you know, eyes on the side of his head like this. And he would sit about 10 or 12 foot tall in a temple. But yet you, as a Moloch worshiper, you would be able to carry a miniature form around. So you'd be able to, there's a whole lot easier on that 10 foot guy. And you wanted to leave him over there anyhow. So you'd have a little miniature fellow and you'd just cap him out of your pocket and you'd pray to Moloch. So you'd set him upon a stone and you'd offer an oblation or offering to him and you'd call on the name of Moloch. So in essence, everything he was identified in this image. I hope you're going to hear me tonight. And you realize now that where did they get that from? Satan steals many, many things from God. You know that idolatry, that they would not actually believe that all the powers of that God was even in that idol. They believed it was a mere representation in an imagery, and in that imagery they was approaching the invisible God through that visible image. They did not believe that the image had the power to heal, but they believed that that God represented himself in that image. Don't you see that God himself is the first one to set forth that principle? That in the image of man, if whales would have had this image, they would have the ability to worship and fellowship and talk with God. But only that which bears the image of the invisible God has the real ability to fellowship with him on a divine level, to worship him on a divine level, to understand him on a divine level, and take that image away from mere mortal man. He don't know what God is. He don't know how to serve God. He don't know what God wants. And let that image be returned, oh glory. It's not just teaching him how to do this and teach him how to do that. It is a restoration of a supernatural image that only God can give to us. Hallelujah. So you imagine now, they felt that the idol's essence and the idol's supernatural representation was identified in carrying this little tiny idol. So God says, let us make man, Adam. Let us make man in our image. Let him be our representation upon the earth. Let him be a little Elohim. Let him be a little God. Let him have dominion. Notice what he's doing now. He's not going to make fish. He's not going to make cattle. He's not going to make dolphins and narwhals and whales and all this sort of thing. But what he will do is usurp dominion over them. Now in this, he has the godlike image in that he knows right from wrong. He has the godlike image in that he is God conscious. He has the godlike image that he can choose. He has the godlike image in that he has the ability to be pulled toward God. The flower can't, the potato can't, the tomato can't. But God gives this image inside this man. And this man will be the representation of all that heaven is. Oh glory. He will walk upon this earth as a mortal looking individual, but within him he bears the image of the supernatural deity of heaven. Notice God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. Now notice the whale is not given this, the fish is not given this, but dominion is given to him which bears the image of the Creator. Can't you see, friends, why God wants his very spiritual image in us? We live a certain way, we dress a certain way, but that's not the image of God. Because you sisters dress and have long hair and you brothers don't look like hippies, that's not the image of God. That's obedience to the principles of his word. The image of God is not do's and don'ts and thou shalt not. The image of God can only come by him who created the first image in the first place. We cannot give it to one another. We cannot school one another into it. It must be something that God himself gives by a supernatural impartation of a divine new birth. Oh, can't you see why he can only receive real, genuine, true worship through the elect of God who have that image? Now the position of man is brought into view after God brings him into creation. Let them have dominion. So the relationship of man's position upon the earth as being the highest form of God's creation is now into view. That he will actually usurp dominion over the animal kingdom, over the vegetable kingdom, over every kingdom that there is. The range of his kingdom is now expressed in the very verse, the very same verse by which he was created out of. So God said, now let us make man in our image and we'll designate dominion over the fish, over the fowls, over everything that's on the earth. I'll give it all to my son. His image bears the ability to rule. Oh, glory to God. His image imparts to him the ability to rule. If you and I set your tonight and we have the image of God in us by the new birth, does not it give us the ability to rule over sin? Sure, we're not going to rule this world until the millennium, but what about in my own body? I do not have to submit my body to the evil of this day. I can rule my body from within by kingdom power. Notice David in Psalms 8:4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. For thou madest him and made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All things. And this is after the fall. Now watch. So God goes on in verse 27. Now he speaks it in verse 26. In verse 27, he acts on his word. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Him. One unit. Male and female created he them. But the key is the preceding part of this verse. He made a him. A man. But he made him a dual nature. Male and female. So God now, watch demonology. Brother Bam said, your souls were made up before the foundation of the world. When God created man in his own image. Lord, thank God. Not a man in his own image, but man in his own image. See? He then made male and female before he ever had a man in the dust of the earth. Now think of it here, when God made man, it was not just one man. When God made spirit being, I don't remember it and you don't remember it because our mind has been darkened to it. But we were there. We sang the song, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Take me on back farther than that. Was you there when God created Adam that day? Was you there when God created Adam on that day? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. When I say I was there when he created Adam on that day. He didn't just make Adam, but he made me and you and ever saint of God, every seed of God that was ever be represented in the book of life. Notice the Bible said in Genesis 1:26, he created him, man, in a prefigure, male and female. See, in a prefigure, he made the woman and the man before they was ever formed out of the dust of the earth. Now listen, in a prefigure, he made them before they was ever formed to be made out of the dust of the earth. And then God made the man, not in his own image. The body's not in the image of God. This body's in the image of beast. This is not what God said, let us make man in our own image. This is made in the image of the kingdom he would rule over. Can't you see this is why scientists study and they can come up so far, and they see certain similarities between a man and a chimpanzee, and a man and an orangutan, and a man and a baboon, and a man and this. And then they come up so far and then there's this great big gap that they can't connect it. God hit him, put him on his belly. But they can follow it up so far. They know that there's a link, there's a kin there somehow. Oh my. But what, this is not made in the image of God. This is made in the image of the kingdom I was to rule over. Thank you, Lord. Notice this in adoption. He made man. He created them male and female. All in the same unit. He was both man and woman. Feminine and masculine. When he made Adam and put him in flesh, remember in Genesis 1, he made man and woman. In Genesis 2, there was no man to till the soil. Flesh man. No man that could take a hold of anything and till the soil. But yet there was a man in his image. Now here's a man in his image, but there's no man to till the soil. There's a man that has dominion, but there's no man to do any plowing, any disking. Glory. Watch this. When Adam and Eve listened to the lie of the devil, the holy image of God left them. So did Adam's eyes change colors? Was it his hair? His cheekbones, they changed. His skin color. What was the holy image? So here's something actually leaves them when they listen to the lie of the devil, but in stature, they would have looked identical. So it could be in you and leave you, and physically you wouldn't show no change until a few years later. Then of course your hair start turning gray and you start getting wrinkles in your face and all that. So then, let's turn it back around now. So then, in other words, if it would leave you that way, it could come back the same way. So that holy, oh glory, that holy image could come back and it still don't mean all your gray hairs would go away. That's right. Not now anyway. It don't mean all your wrinkles will be gone. Glory! So the holy image could be restored and you could still fight battles in the flesh. You could still get sick and weary and down, but the holy image had come back in the soul. That's the crown of creation. Now watch, once the holy image of God left them, their fellowship was broken. So the holy image has to do with your koinonia, your fellowship, your close communion. Not just your ability to bow down on your knee and pray. Not just your ability to even read the Bible. It's your fellowship. It's so you can still come to church and the image left you. You can look the part on the outside and not have the holy image on the inside. You understand what I'm saying? Now remember, this is the created part, which is the image of God. Not this. This is the image of beast. That's why folks can look the part, talk the part, act the part, and ain't got the part. Why? The image is invisible. Now look at this. He says, my, the holy image of God left them and their fellowship was broken with God. Their fellowship of oneness with God was broken. The very minute they listened to the lie of the devil, bring it on down to us, Brother Branham. They broke their fellowship and the very minute that you listen to the lie of the devil, it'll break your fellowship. How many's been there and done that? Sure, we all have. That's the very minute that you go out from the presence of God like she did. It's when you fail to take God's word just as it is. So the holy image of God left them in the Garden of Eden. But the angels, the beasts, everybody else could look at them and they looked the same. God help us, friends, that we don't live hypocritical lives. That we don't look like and talk like and act like we're believers and live a life that's not worthy of the gospel. Now watch this in verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Now remember, God's speaking this not to the beast body of Adam. But God is speaking this to the spirit body of Adam. Multiply. Replenish. Now remember, he had the book of life. The title deed was in his hands. Every name that would ever be spoken by Christ himself was in that title deed. What's he to do? Bring forth from that book and give them physical manifestation. How can he do it? With the image of God? He can. Right. Now watch. He has the commission by God. God blessed them and God said unto them. Now remember, you're God speaking to them, but yet if you'd have looked at him, he'd only seen one. So God's saying them and us and them and us. And sometimes you look and see one and sometimes you look and see nothing because it's them. But it's the manifestation that he's in. If you and I would have took our physical eyes, Brother Rob, and tried to search through the Garden of Eden and found Adam, the spirit being, would have never found him. He was a spirit being. God is right here tonight. Any of y'all see him? You got him in you? You got him in you? How you know? Have you ever seen him? Oh, I felt him. That could have been an emotion. How do you know is that? Your faith declares he's living in you. And you believe that. You die for that very principle to believe that God is in you. Is that right? And yet there's nothing in the sense world, nothing in the flesh world could ever scientifically prove it or prove it to anybody else that he's actually there. But you believe it. So your faith, amen, your faith is so real to you. That habitation of God is just as real as scientific proof. As a matter of fact, it's more real. So here God speaks to this image. And he says, multiply. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Watch Brother Branham as he picks this up. Yes, the man and his wife are one. The man, when he was first made, He was both in his spirit, both masculine and feminine. Both was him. Male and female was he alone. Male and female was he alone. When God separated him, notice, a woman is not in the original creation. She's a byproduct of the man. He took the body from man's body and he took the feminine spirit from his spirit and put in her. She is feminine and he's masculine. Now the first man, Adam, look at him. In spirit, he was both feminine and masculine. I don't mean that Adam had homosexual tendencies. He was a special creation. A reflection of God himself. Because one day God's going to come on the earth in the shape of a man. And he'll be both bride and bridegroom in the same body. Right? Now notice, God must unveil his whole story of what he's going to do right here in his first man. So he took from Adam's body and a rib, and then he takes from Adam's spirit. Now Brother Bram says in spirit, he was both feminine and masculine, then he was made flesh, and then he had no helpmate. So your God calls them, but then when he puts him in flesh, there's nobody around. Where was she? In him. She was in him. So this word was spoken to multiply and replenish and be fruitful while she was yet in him hid. Right. Notice he says a woman is not an original creation. She's a byproduct of the man. So to make them one to show what it did, he opened up the side of Adam, took part of Adam's flesh so they wouldn't be separated. They'd be one. Took part of Adam's spirit, part of Adam's flesh, took the feminine spirit off of Adam and made an Eve. When man was first come on the earth, he was both male and female, feminine and masculine before he becomes sex. Now notice, he's spirit being. In spirit being, he's not sex related at all. It's masculine and feminine characteristics in spirit form. You folks follow me. You're looking at me like I'm from another planet or something. Now before he becomes sex is when God speaks to him. See, a feminine spirit, the lower spirit. It's the one that's timid. Then there's also the masculine man. But when he made him, put him into a different in order to reproduce the world, he brought the feminine spirit off of him and put it, notice where he goes now, in a rib from his side made a female. She was not to be a ruler. When she first started that, she caused the whole human downfall. She was the cause of the fall. Then God taken her up and brought back life into the world through Christ by the woman. Thank God. Now notice, then first, look what man was. He was a spirit man in the image of God. So God could speak to Adam in the same way he could speak to Christ the Logos and said, replenish and multiply. Be fruitful. God could speak to the Logos Christ when you was hid in him. And when God spoke to him, you didn't hear it exactly. But part of the allocation of that word would be to him. Part of it would be to you. Oh, Lord. No wonder he cannot reproduce without us. Praise be to God. Don't you see, as I told you a couple of weeks ago, I don't just believe in God. I don't just believe in the prophet. I believe in the church. Because the church is part of God's hidden mystery. Come on, children. The church is part of God's hidden. Listen, Malachi 4 is very open for the people to even read. It's very open. All you got to have is just a little bit of intellect and ability to read. It's the mystery of the church where God reveals himself in the fullness of his attribute. Come to the end time. Where do you think this was before there was ever a Malachi 4? There wasn't a Malachi 4 in the days of Paul. There wasn't a Malachi 4 in the days of Luther, in the days of West, in the days of Pentecost. What was it? The mystery of the church. God sent Malachi 4 for what reason? So everybody would rally around him so they'd turn our hearts back to the original word. So he could speak to us to carry out, multiply and replenish. Hallelujah. Notice this, souls in prison, paragraph 39, God is a spirit, St. John 4. He is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. Thy word is truth. Now we worship him in spirit and truth, a spirit being. Then there was no man to till the soil. Then God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Then he taken from his side a byproduct, a rib. And from that separated this man, which had a dual nature. A dual nature. A dual nature, which was both feminine and masculine. He had taken the feminine out because it was love. and placed it into a person called Eve, that Adam called Eve, which was his wife. That's where his love, natural filial love, held to his wife. That's the way a man should do today, and her back to her husband. So God takes this lower spirit, this feminine spirit, love, and puts it in the woman. It's timid. It's more shy. Brother, she needs you. Like you need her. Hold on. Christ needs us. He's not complete. He's not complete. He cannot reproduce. He cannot be able to manifest himself fully. Why? It's the way God did it. Watch this in Marriage and Divorce, paragraph 239. That's why I said to Adam, before sex was ever introduced, multiply to replenish the earth. When he was yet in the beginning, he was both male and female in himself. There was no sex at all, and God spoke to him. Why? Speaking to himself as well. Christ will not reproduce his church by sex. He'll reproduce it by the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this in the rising of the sun. When God made his first bridegroom and made the bridegroom first, he was both man and woman and spirit, formed in the dust of the earth to make him material. Notice when he made Eve from Adam, he took not another piece of clay. Not another piece of clay. He took from the same piece of clay the same word, for Adam was a spoken word. And he took from him. He had masculine and feminine spirit, so he took the feminine spirit away from Adam, placed it in Eve, but it's still part of Adam's spirit and Adam's flesh. Now watch, let's look again in Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, which is bear fruit, or cause to bear fruit. Be fruitful. Huh, fruit. Isn't that what trees bear? Fruit trees? Do cucumbers bear fruits? No, they're vegetable. Do tomato plants bear fruits? Where did fruit come from? Trees. Certain bushes. So here's God speaking to a tree in the Garden of Eden. Bring forth fruit. Now watch, look at the complex commission of this man. God says, be fruitful and multiply, which is reproduce, and replenish, not plenish, but replenish the earth and subdue it. Now if this is a perfect paradise, and we believe it is, what or whom would be on this earth that would need to be subdued? Look at this word, subdue, what it means. To subject, force, keep under, make subservient, dominate, tread down. Why would this perfect man in a perfect paradise need to hear not only these words, be fruitful and multiply and replenish, but why would he need to hear this, subdue? Unless there's somebody around that you need to watch. Praise the Lord. Now look, friend, you and I know nothing takes God by surprise. It should not have taken Adam by surprise. Now, yeah, I want to tell you something. I know that many times we can slip up and we can fall into traps and all this and other, but I am convinced the Spirit of God is so faithful to watch over us if we'll listen. If we'll pray about our friends, if we'll pray about where we go, where we work, where we live, if we'll make these things a matter of prayer in our life, you're not going to tell me the Spirit of God will not ward off many things away from us if we'll be sensitive. Now here, Adam is not even aware, as far as we know, that there has been an angelic fall. He's not even aware, as far as we know, that the earth existed and it had also now come into this chaotic condition. We're not even aware, as far as we know, that he was aware that anything had existed before him. But this one word spoke volumes. And you're listening for God to tell you sometime, well, you want a whole book. You want 47 quotes. If you'll listen sometimes, it may not be but a sentence. Two or three lines right together. And something just really smote you when it was said. And you want more and more and more and more. You better listen, friends. One word. One word was all God gave Adam. But that one should have been sufficient. Now notice in the content of this commission. Now God says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, which is a total different word now. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now notice in verse 29, after God gives him the commission and the call, and gives him the authority, gives him the position to be able to regulate this, and makes him aware that there is a force there which must be subdued. Then in verse 29, God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is from the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Position before belly. Position before diet. Position before feeding face. Notice now, God has now brought the man. He's been brought out spiritually, but he has no need for food yet, but he's fixing to have a need for it. You imagine him, this spirit being. Now God delegates to him and says, you're going to have authority, you're going to have this, you're going to have that. Remember, in this is the holy image of God. He's not yet condescended into the lower creation. He must step too. He is now part of the Logos, but he must step down beneath himself. Remember, in this image, he could have never fallen in the first place. He could never have broke away from that image of God until he become the man of Genesis 2:7. The plan of redemption lays in the law of condescension. Don't forget that. The plan of redemption lays in the law of condescension. God must condescend. The man must condescend. He cannot ever be tempted in this form. He can never fall in this form. So God tells him. Now, something's going to happen. You imagine, Adam saying, I'm not hungry. I don't eat. In this body, I have no need of food. But God don't tell you some of that to being a reason. Now what? So God makes Adam, initially, a vegetarian. Right? No hamburgers, no steaks, no bologna. No, all vegetable life. Now this is God's commission to the man that is fixing to be birthed into a flesh body. Now in this verse, so God gives human beings the, not just Adam alone, but God gives human beings the gift of things that was created that will be able to sustain his natural life on the earth. So they are gifts. Now watch, Adam has already been given dominion over the animal kingdom, over the birds and all of that. Now God comes on down and said, now I want you to make the vegetable kingdom subservient to your needs. You rule over the whales, you rule over the dolphins, you rule over the animals, but I want you also to make the botany and all of that kingdom, it will be subservient to your needs. You will be able to feed on that. You will eat from there. So you will be ruler over the animal kingdom, and by the sustenance in your body, you will rule over the other kingdom. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! You realize it was not till after the flood that actually man was given the directions on eating meat. Right. Now it was God that did that. God told them after the flood they could eat meat. You also realize it was not till after the giving of the law on the mount in the book of Exodus that the Israelites were forbidden to eat certain meat. Up to the giving of the law, they could eat any kind of meat, any kind of seafood, any type of animal that it was. So notice, with the changing of dispensations, also changes sometimes do's and don'ts. And folks don't like that, do they? Now you know what, man, for whatever reason, there was no bloodshed. Now remember, in this state, the animal kingdom has blood, which is the life. So as long as they're living, everything is in the dispensation of innocence. This is the first dispensation of innocence. So in this time, man cannot go out, kill a lamb, and take its blood and empty it all out. No, it's the wrong dispensation for that. So God says, look, I'm going to give you bananas and pineapples and mangoes, and you're going to be a total vegetarian. Adam didn't get mad about the whole thing, stomp his foot around, but it was very fitting for the dispensation of where he lived. Now, not only Adam, but even after Adam fell, on down through time, there's no declaration or setting forth in the scripture till after the flood, because now you enter into a new dispensation. So then God says, all right, now you can eat these animals, eat these, eat these. From that time on up to the giving of the law, Abraham, the Jews, whatever you want to call them, they were allowed to eat basically whatever. But once the law came, it come with a change of dispensation. Now, whether or not you and I understand that, that's God's way, and we just have to accept it. Can you imagine before Moses goes up to the on the mountain, they can eat just all kinds of seafood, all kinds of webfoot animals, all kinds of different things, and Moses come down from the mountain and said, no, you can't eat that no more. I said, well, why? I just had it for lunch yesterday. I still got some leftover. Throw it out. Well, I don't understand that. Well, Moses might have said, I don't understand it either, but all I know is that's what God said. So from now on, it's considered unclean. But it wasn't unclean last week. I know it wasn't last week. But there's been a change of dispensation. And what was not wrong before this is now wrong because the dispensation has changed. You understand, friends? Oh, my. Notice in verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. Now watch this kingdom. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Don't you imagine that the lion must have looked so peculiar? Eating vegetables. Now remember, he didn't have human looking teeth like me and you. He had them big old strange looking teeth. He was not allocated for one animal to kill another. Don't you see what we're going back to? Oh, praise the Lord. To every beast. Now those that would be closer to man, those that would be farther away from man, every beast was given of the same diet, in that the vegetable kingdom would be the kingdom they would feed from. I don't want to shock you, but you realize in the new city, we will still pull leaves from the tree of life. Those kings will come in from one new moon and one Sabbath to another, and they'll pull them leaves off the tree of life, but still yet there will be nothing dying. Now to everything that was on the earth is giving this to be able to support their life. Now notice in verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God does not use the words very good for the stars, the moon, the sun. But when he makes man, God says, it's very good. Can I go just a bit farther? Look now in chapter 2, verse 1. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. This word host is sabaoth, which is an army, a warfare, a war. A host of organized army of the sun, the moon, the stars. A host in marching order. So the heavens and the earth were finished. Now watch verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. Now we come through day 1, day 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and God stops creating. Now on the dawn of the seventh morning, God enters into Shabbat. Now this is not the Jewish Sabbath, because there are no Jews there. This is the creation Sabbath. Six dispensational periods by which the creative power of God have unfolded consecutively, day 1, day 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And now when the seventh breaks, notice how the scripture says it, and on the seventh day, God ended, which is to accomplish, cease, determine, be complete. God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested. Now it wasn't that God said, boy, this creation stuff wore me out. Man, I'm tired. Woo! Boy, it's hard making stars and worlds. I'm going to go over and sit down. Man, I'm wore out. You angels, bring me a glass of tea, would you? Man, I'm wore out. Good night. Y'all ought to try to make an earth sometime. Goodness, this has wore me out to a frazzle. Oh, I'm hoping I don't have to make another one for a while. I got to rest up a little bit. Look at what the word means. God rested, which means, now the very Hebrew word itself is Shabbat, to cease or desist from labor. So it wasn't that God was tired, but God entered into a state of non-creative work. So God ceased. Why? The very crown of achievement had now been made. So there's no need to go on. There can be nothing higher made on the earth and this dispensation than what God has just finished. Oh, glory. So what comes after you've reached the utopia? Shabbat. What comes after you've made the greatest, the highest, the unfolding of the very epitome of your heart? What follows that? The millennium. Oh, glory. Then what does God do? God stops making. He don't create no more stars, no more universe, no more animals, no more plants. But God says, I'm going to stop my work of creation. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So the very word Sabbath, Shabbat, means to cease. God did not rest because he was weary, because God does not get tired, but he ceased to create. Mm-hmm. So the thing under consideration now that we want to look at, so this seventh day, or this 7,000 years of increment of time, it was a dispensation unto God. Now remember, in this dispensation, there's no more plants, no more animals, no more man, nothing like that to be created. And God has now reached the crowning of that. So God then, this is God's reaction to the day. In the day, there's no mention of man. In this day, there's no mention of the making of more animals. But the very focus is God and the day. That's the whole entirety of the purpose. It's God and the day. It is God that he rested on this day. You know what's amazing is the Bible doesn't say in the evening and the morning were the seventh day. It did for the first day, the second day, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. How come it don't say for the seventh? Because it ain't ended yet. It ain't stopped. It's going to be resumed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Notice in verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Notice, he didn't do this on the first day. He didn't bless the second day. The focus is what? The day. The focus is not the animals. It is not the man. It is not the beast. It's not the stars in the sky. The focus is the day. God has arrived to a place after completing this absolute perfection. God has arrived. Church, if we could only see tonight, once we have entered into Christ Jesus, into our Sabbath is not Sunday. Our Sabbath is not Saturday. Our Sabbath is not one particular day of the week. Our Sabbath is eternal rest. Once we enter into that Sabbath, our worldly works are over. We cease from our works as God did from his. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. Let's stand. Hallelujah. So God now moves into his Shabbat, or his time of rest. And the refreshment to God in this Sabbath is not of needing rest to recuperate from all this depleting energy, because he hasn't lost any. It isn't a relief from fatigue and tired and wore out. It's actually the enjoyment of the preceding days, enjoying that work of creation. So God says, I have made everything perfect, everything complete. There is nothing higher that I can make.
So I will enter into this dispensation of Shabbat. Now years and years and years later, he opens the side of Adam and makes the woman. But remember, she's not a new creation. She's of the old creation, only in a multiplied form. Right? But God was called out of his Sabbath because his son fell. So God put that Sabbath on hold. That's why the evening and the morning are not the seventh day yet. But before long, the seventh morning will come. Once again, she will resume with another Adam and another Eve on the earth. Brother Branham, I can see him, Adam standing there, those birds of paradise, as they would fly down on his shoulder and coo to him. The big dinosaurs coming through the paradise of God. Everything just as gentle as a kitten. No harm in them. And he said, oh, I think about the dawn of that seventh morning. It's going to come again. When will it come, Brother Donnie? When once again, God has reached the height of his creation. It couldn't have been in Luther's day or Wesley's day. It could only follow a full word, restoration. It could only come when the image of God is projected back into human beings again. Then God can say, I desist, I cease, I stop creating more images of men. I have reached the completion. For I see myself in human beings. They are little images of me walking on the earth. Some of them 18, some of them 16, some of them 49, some of them 79, some of them 89. Glory to God. Little images of me walking on the earth. I can once again stop creating. Come with me into my Shabbat, my children. Praise God. Then Moses says in verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. And the word generations is literally the family history of the heavens and the earth. The family history. As there's generations of Elliots and generations of Reagans, right? Of Horns and whoever you are. Well, this wasn't the first time the heavens had been there. This is the generations, plural. But this is the first time there's been a man. Glory. We appreciate his grace. Amen. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father. We read this creation account. Wonder in our minds how far we have fallen from that original Eden. It must have been something to behold. The earth in its pristine condition after being in such utter chaos and darkness. The man of Genesis 1 put into flesh in Genesis 2, reflecting and propagating his image in Genesis 3. Then once that holy image leaves him, he notices wrinkles in his hands, under his eyes, crow's feet around his mouth. His wife, which was intended to live forever, the prophet said, her long blonde hair hanging down her back and her pretty blue eyes, the color of the skies. Adam's black, shaggy hair hanging around his neck. But all of a sudden, something changed. The image left him. Then that black hair began to get little tiny gray ones. Then that one coupled with another and another and became streaks. Before long, he became gray-headed. His back arched. His arms no longer stout and strong. His mind couldn't remember as well. The image left him. But Lord God, you purposed to achieve a masterpiece, and nothing was going to stop you. One day that image returned again on the earth in the form of another man, the second Adam, the Lord from glory. He wasn't as stout as the first one. He never moved trees, as far as we know. He did speak to one and curse it one time. As far as we know, he didn't do many of the things the first Adam did. But that wasn't really the commission. His commission was restore the image. Restore the image. Bring it in the form of a supernatural birth. Lord, how we thank you for that tonight. I believe with all my heart there's people standing in this building tonight that have got that image in their soul. Our body's getting old, aching, tired. Lord, we feel as we get older, weakness, all these types of things. Oh, but that don't change the image on the inside. It's there to stay. It's mine forever. Once I've got it, I can never lose it. Lord Jesus, strengthen your people tonight. Bring them courage. Grant it, I pray, Lord God. We love you, Father. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You appreciate him?
Amen.
Let me ask you, have you entered into that rest in your soul? Has God done the ultimate, the highest work that can be done in a human heart? Has God looked at your human heart, your soul, and said, I can do no more? It is perfect. Not your walk now. Not that human character. That all that part. But has God looked in your soul and said, I cease the work. I seal his soul to the day of redemption. Enter into rest, soul.
Amen.
Friend, can you believe that? If you've got the new birth tonight, he sealed your soul. God can do no more. The work is perfect and complete. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that wonderful? He can do no more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Before I let you go, I got a little something I'd like for you to pray about. Carol's lost one of her nephews today. Carol's youngest sister, her son, passed away today in real, real sad, sad circumstances. The Lord knows all about. Carol's sister's not serving the Lord. And it's just devastated their family. I'll be running Carol down there tomorrow, and I certainly need your prayers during this time, that God will just help them. We found out about it this afternoon. So if you would, I'd like for you to join with me in prayer right now, that God knows all about this. The boy wasn't serving the Lord. And, you know, God knows exactly where every individual stands on him. We know he's just. We know that he knows exactly how to deal with folks. So if you would, before we go, maybe you've got a need on your heart. If you'd like to just raise your hand to the church as well. God bless you. God bless you. We want to take your need too. If you just join with me in prayer. God will just help me. I had to rush Carol's mom to the ER this evening when she heard the news, because it was just such a devastating thing. So they had to take her to the emergency room there in Kentucky. So if you would just help us in prayer. Heavenly Father, you see this situation this evening, Lord, and I pray, dear God, for Rebecca, Lord, that you would help her. She's known you, Lord. She's known the truth. Many years ago, Father, when I was there in the church in Kentucky, she sat there, Lord, as a young girl and heard the truth. Lord, I've seen her life under the influence of the power of God. Lord, she's been through many hard things in her life, difficult things. And now, Lord, her son taken from her today. Just terrible, terrible circumstance. Lord Jesus, I pray for your mercy to help her, God. Lord Carol and her mom and her sister Sharon, and Lord, they have you in their life to help them deal with this kind of loss, and still it's terrible. But she don't have you. Lord, I pray that you'd help her. Maybe during this time, Lord, she'd be able to realize once again there's only one real source of help in dealing with such things. I pray for the family, Lord, that you just strengthen them and help them, dear God. Heavenly Father, you saw the uplifted hands of the other people that was here. They had something in their heart, a request. I want to bring them before you as well, Father. Lord Jesus, we know that the very same God that made Adam in the beginning, you're the same one who's right here among us tonight. Lord, I've got this prayer cloth in my pocket, and you know the need, Lord Jesus, it's going to. I'm asking you, Father, for your deliverance, Lord. I believe you, dear God. We call upon your name tonight, Lord Jesus, knowing that you're our deliverer. Lord, you promised us that you'd be our peace. Oh, Father, that you would help us in the time of trouble and distress. Lord, may you go to every need here tonight, Lord. Those streaming the service, may you go to them in their home, in their car, on their phone, wherever they are. Oh, Lord God, we call upon your name, believing that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. May you help us tonight, Lord. We commit all these things to you, Father. Grant it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Praise be to God. Amen. Can we just raise our hands to him now and give him praise? Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We believe, we receive what we've asked for tonight, Lord God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. We magnify your holy name, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, O God. You're worthy to be praised, Lord. Thank you, dear God. We believe, Lord, that you've got a people in this building tonight that they once again have reached a place where the holy image of God has been restored. And again, they are the crown of the new creation, the work of God in their hearts. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We magnify your name, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Appreciate his goodness and mercy. I don't know about you. I'm still feasting on the services this past weekend. I just trust it was a blessing to you. And just keep having them positive affirmations. Keep them up in your house. I've got several different emails, texts, different things from people that stuck them on the cabinet doors and people that stuck them here and there and there. Oh, I'll tell you what. Stick them everywhere. Brother Terry had sent me a scripture the other day in the book of Deuteronomy where God said, post it on your doorpost, put it here, put it there, put it there. The word works, does it not? Amen. God bless you. I love you in the Lord. Go in the fear of God. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. Has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your care.